For our scripture reading, we turn to the book of Daniel, chapter 9. Daniel chapter 9, begin reading at verse 1. Text consists of the first 10 verses, which I will not reread. In the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus of the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. And I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. And I prayed unto the Lord my God, and made my confession, and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love him, and to them that keep his commandments, we have sinned, and have committed iniquity, and have done wickedly, and have rebelled, even by departing from thy precepts and from thy judgments. Neither have we hearkened unto thy servants the prophets, which spake in thy name to our kings, our princes, and our fathers, and to all the people of the land. O Lord, righteousness belongeth unto thee, but unto us, confusion of faces, as at this day. To the men of Judah, and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and to all Israel that are near and that are far off, through all the countries whither thou hast driven them, because of their trespass that they have trespassed against thee. O Lord, to us belongeth confusion of face, to our kings, to our princes, and to our fathers, because we have sinned against thee. To the Lord our God belong mercies and forgivenesses, though we have rebelled against him. Neither have we obeyed the voice of the Lord our God to walk in his laws, which he set before us by his servants the prophets. Yea, all Israel have transgressed thy law, even by departing, that they might not obey thy voice. Therefore the curse is poured upon us, and the oath that is written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, because we have sinned against him. And he hath confirmed his words which he spake unto us, and against our judges that judged us, by bringing upon us a great evil. For under the whole heaven hath not been done as hath been done upon Jerusalem, as it is written in the law of Moses, all this evil is come upon us. Yet made we not our prayer before the Lord our God, that we might turn from our iniquities and understand thy truth. Therefore hath the Lord watched upon the evil and brought it upon us. For the Lord our God is righteous in all his works which he doeth, for we obeyed not his voice. And now, O Lord our God, thou hast brought thy people forth out of the land of Egypt with a mighty hand, and has gotten thee renown, as at this day. We have sinned. We have done wickedly. O Lord, according to all thy righteousness, I beseech thee, let thine anger and thy fury be turned away from thy holy city, Jerusalem, thy holy mountain, because for our sins and for the iniquities of our fathers, Jerusalem and thy people are become a reproach to all that are about us. Now therefore, O our God, hear the prayer of thy servant and his supplications, and cause thy face to shine upon thy sanctuary that is desolate for the Lord's sake. O my God, incline thine ear and hear. Open thine eyes and behold our desolations, and the city which is called by thy name. For we do not present our supplications before thee for our righteousnesses, but for thy great mercies. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hearken and do. Defer not for thine own sake, O my God, for thy city and thy people are called by thy name. And whilst I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel, and presenting my supplications before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God, yea, whilst I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation. And he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. At the beginning of thy supplications, the commandment came forth, and I am come to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved. Therefore understand the matter and consider the vision. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression and to make an end of sins and to make reconciliation for iniquity and to bring in everlasting righteousness and to seal up the vision and prophecy and to anoint the most holy. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again, and the wall, even in troublous times. And after 62 weeks, shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood. And unto the end of the war, desolations are determined. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation. And that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. So far we read from the Holy Word of God this evening. Dearly beloved in our Lord Jesus Christ, in this chapter we read about Daniel understanding of about the 70 years, understanding that from the prophecy of Jeremiah, understanding the Babylonian captivity would be of some 70 years. And understanding that, he goes to God in prayer, and he confesses his sin and the sin of my people. He says, while I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel and presenting my supplications before the Lord my God, and so on. Then we read Gabriel. It says, while I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me. And he informed me, and so on. This is an Old Testament passage where we read of the prophet Gabriel. And our children are familiar with the announcements made about the birth of Christ, birth of John the Baptist, by the angel Gabriel. And here in the Old Testament, we read about the angel Gabriel speaking to Daniel. And when Daniel is praying and he's understanding this Babylonian captivity would be 70 years, and as he's praying to God and confessing his sin and the sin of his people and saying, Lord, hear, Lord, hearken and do. For hearken and do, for defer not, for thine own sake, O my God, for thy city and thy people are called by thy name. While he's praying, Gabriel appears, and Gabriel speaks to him about the 77s. It's interesting that there are the 70 years of the Babylonian captivity. And that's mentioned at the beginning of the chapter. And then at the end of the chapter, Gabriel speaks to Daniel about the 77s, translated 70 weeks, are determined upon thy people and upon the holy city, and so on, and speaks about the coming of the Messiah. But we're not going to look tonight at the prophecy concerning the 77s, but look specifically at the beginning of this chapter to Daniel, understanding this from the scriptures and setting his face to the Lord God. There is instruction here about prayer. I set my face, verse 3 says, I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplications, and so on. It's important when you and I pray to think of setting our face to the Lord God. We recognize it's easy to be mechanical in our prayers. Not even remember what we've prayed. We understand that we're talking to God. We talk to our children about the fact that when they pray, now you're talking to God. We recognize when we pray that we're consciously to think about the fact that we are really talking to God. Setting our face to the Lord God. Turning to him. There's instruction in this chapter about prayer. You know, we go through the Lord's Prayer in the Heidelberg Catechism. The Lord taught us about prayer in the Lord's Prayer, and we go through the petitions of the Lord's Prayer and what we learn from that about prayer. We recognize that also there's instruction when we have examples like here with Daniel, when we see his prayer. And what characterized his prayer there is instruction for you and me about our own prayers. You know, when we go through the Heidelberg Catechism and go through the Ten Commandments, as we go through those Ten Commandments, we all, as we hear that, we think of what God calls us to do. We think about our sin, how far we come from doing what we're supposed to do, and how we do things that we're not supposed to do. And then we get to the end of the Heidelberg Catechism on prayer, and we call prayer the chief part of thankfulness. And as we go through that, we also think about how in our own prayers, we don't pray as fervently as we ought. We're not as attentive as we ought to be. And how important it is for us to think about what God has taught us about prayer. There's important details that we see here in this prayer. Daniel understands what God has promised, and he turns to God, believing God, believing his promise, humbling himself before God, confessing that God is righteous, confessing his sin and the sin of the people, and that God is righteous. And also thinking of God's covenant and his faithfulness, keeping thy covenant and mercy to them that love him. And speaking of forgiveness. There is instruction here in our prayers that we turn to God in our need, believing his promise. We confess he's righteous. That's repeated in this. That he's righteous. We confess that our God is righteous. That we are sinners. And also that we confess his faithfulness. We think of the covenant faithfulness, the mercy of our God, our Father. We consider this passage under the theme, Daniel setting his face to the Lord. We consider turning to him, confessing his righteousness, and confessing his faithfulness. First, we look at the situation. It's the first year of Darius the Mede. So that indicates this is right after the time that Kingdom of Babylon has fallen, and now the ruler here is Darius the Mede, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans. And then we read that it says, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the numbers of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. Now that indicates that this is a passage that speaks about the scriptures and the recording of the word of God in scripture. Now Jeremiah lived right up to the time of the Babylonian captivity. So that Jeremiah and Daniel, there were a time when Jeremiah and Daniel were both alive. Daniel, when Daniel was taken to Babylon, the prophet Jeremiah would have been alive at that time. The prophecy of Jeremiah is something that Daniel, who's now in, you know, he was taken away captive, Daniel is aware. He's aware of the prophecy of Jeremiah. So the Bible here speaks of the recording of Scripture, the recording of the words of the prophets. It speaks of the word being known also by those taken away, and it speaks about the reading of Scripture. I understood by books. He looked at the scriptures. Now it's very important that we see as Daniel looked at the scriptures, he took this to be the word of God. There are those that deny, you know, when we look at the scriptures, there are those that deny this is the infallibly inspired word of God. We're familiar with that. With regard to the book of Daniel specifically, there are those that have said that this was not written by Daniel, somebody that lived in the days of the captivity. It was written a lot later by somebody else. But this wasn't really written by Daniel in the time that it says it is. Well, we know it was. The scriptures say it was. And this is the word of God. And when we go to the scripture, we go to the scripture knowing that this is the word of God. We believe what God tells us. We confess this is the infallibly inspired scripture. And we see that Daniel looked at this and understood this to be the word of God, spoken by Jeremiah. We also see the significance of prophets. Daniel's a prophet, and he's going to learn from what Jeremiah wrote. Of course, in Jeremiah's case, you're talking about part of the scriptures. But we recognize also that applies to broader in that we learn from one another. We all together learn from the scriptures written by various men over the course of many years, yet inspired by the Spirit. We recognize this as the Word of God. We also recognize today that as the Word of God is being explained and is being expounded, insofar as that exposition is in harmony with the Word of God, we take instruction when other people are giving instruction from the Word of God, and we are all together learning from one another. We're all prophets. We partake of the anointing of Christ. We are all prophets, and we learn from other prophets. We learn together. He understood the number of years. Now, there's a couple of passages in Jeremiah that spoke of the years. We look at two passages. First is Jeremiah 25. Jeremiah 25, it says in verse 11, "And this whole land shall be a desolation and an astonishment, and these nations shall serve the king of Babylon 70 years. 70 years they shall serve the king of Babylon. And it shall come to pass when 70 years are accomplished, that I will punish the king of Babylon and that nation," saith the Lord, "for their iniquity." And so on. So it says they'll serve the king of Babylon 70 years, and after 70 years, I will punish the king of Babylon. Well, Daniel, this is the first year of Darius the Mede. So now, this Darius the Mede is the one that is made king over the realm of the Chaldeans. So that's the time period. There's another passage in Jeremiah 29, verse 10, and then verse 12 and 13. First, verse 10. "For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you in causing you to return to this place." So this is now talking about the people of God coming back. "I will perform my good word toward you in causing you to return to this place." And then verse 12, skipping to verse 12. "Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart." see how that's related here to Daniel's prayer. Because this passage speaks about them coming back. And also speaks about them calling on God, seeking Him. And now we read that Daniel sets his face toward God. It says, "And I set my face unto the Lord God." Now there's something quite interesting there about prayer and what God has promised. He reads what God has promised, and he sets his face toward God, and he requests what is promised. Now, one might say that that makes sense. It seems obvious. One would do that. Some people have different views of prayer. Someone might think, if God has promised it, you know it's going to happen. You know, why are you going to pray? Why are you going to ask God for something he's already told you he's going to do? Well, when we hear what God has promised, we're not indifferent. We don't think, well, you know, God has promised it, it's going to happen, you know, so why do we need to request this? But rather, when we hear what God has promised, we go to him, requesting what he has promised. And we do so with confidence. When we talk about praying with confidence, well, we pray for things that God has promised. And we think of that when we go through the Lord's Prayer. Forgive us our debts. God has said, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We believe that, what God says. And we go to him. And we ask for forgiveness with confidence. God has told us this. We ask for deliverance. We ask for the grace to order our life to his glory, to be submissive to his will, that his kingdom might come. We pray for things that God has promised. We believe. We know we're asking, we're praying according to the will of God. Well, so Daniel here. He hears what God has promised and he prays. Cause thy face to shine upon thy sanctuary, and so on. So ought we in our prayers to go to our God and pray for the things that God has promised and not doubt that we will receive them. And when you pray for things that God has promised you, we're not to doubt that we're going to receive them. We confess that God will grant us, we look to God and ask him to grant us these things for Christ's sake. We do not present our supplications before thee for our righteousnesses. That's what Daniel says, so we say the same thing. We ask that he will grant these requests for Christ's sake. We think on his promises, setting our face toward God, turning to him, involves thinking about what God has promised. So that when we pray, see how we apply that into our own prayers, is that when I'm praying consciously to think about what God has promised. Like I said, it's easy for all of us to be mechanical. Sometimes we pray and we're more fervent and we're more attentive to what we're praying. Sometimes we're more mechanical in our prayers. We recognize when we pray in a more mechanical way, we recognize we shouldn't pray like that. I should really be setting my face to the Lord God. I should really be thinking about what he's promised. Going to him. thinking on his majesty, he starts off saying, O Lord, the great and dreadful God. Well, when we say something like that, we're to be thinking about him as the great and dreadful God. We're to be thinking about what we're saying, thinking about his majesty, humbly coming before him. Or when we confess his faithfulness, keeping covenant and mercy, we're to be thinking about he keeps the covenant and mercy to them that love him. Particularly. It's a particular grace. It is covenant people. He keeps the covenant and mercy to them that love him, to them that keep his commandments. We think of his righteousness, as is repeated in this psalm, or rather in this chapter, and we turn to that specifically now. Notice the repetition of the idea of the righteousness of God. Verse 7. O Lord, righteousness belongeth unto thee, but unto us confusion of faces. And then, when we look at verse 14, therefore hath the Lord watched upon the evil and brought it upon us, for the Lord our God is righteous, and all his works which he hath done, for we obeyed not his voice. And then verse 16, O Lord, according to all thy righteousness, I beseech thee, let thine anger and thy fury be turned away, and so on. There's a reference to the righteousness of God. The righteous God, all of his actions are in harmony with his perfect being. And Daniel speaks about the righteousness of God and speaks about the fact that God is righteous. The righteous God has been chastening his people, and that the judgment that has come upon them is just. He thinks of the righteousness of God. He thinks of his own sins and the sins of his people. That's brought out also when it says he seeks by prayer and supplications. Supplications are humble, earnest requests. But notice when he prays with supplications and fastings and sackcloth and ashes, and he starts to talk about his sin and the sin of the people. We have sinned. God is righteous. We are sinners. We have sinned. That the judgment that came upon us is just. He goes on a bit about the sin too. You know, when we talk about our sins, sometimes we say just forgive us our debts. Sometimes that's it. You know, sometimes, you know, our prayers can be short. But it's also the case that when we are going to God in the consciousness of the fact of our sins, something we've done that we ought not to have done, it's important for us to go to our God and to confess our sins and to go and to talk about what we've done, what we've said. You know, there's the daily going to God in prayer. We go to God in prayer. We tend to do that before we eat. We tend to do that before we go to sleep. And there's certain times that we typically pray. We also recognize that there's times when we are conscious of something we've done, something we've said that we shouldn't have done, we shouldn't have said, and we set our face to God and we confess our sin, what we've done, what we've said, what we thought that we shouldn't have. And notice in verse 5, it says, we've sinned and have committed iniquity. There's these different words for sin. He keeps talking about sin. We've sinned and have committed iniquity and have done wickedly and have rebelled. We've rebelled. Even by departing from thy precepts and from thy judgments. And he keeps going. Neither have we hearkened unto thy servants the prophets. So he says, now God spoke. We heard what God said. He spoke by his servants the prophets, and we did not hearken. We can say that today. We can say that too, that we've heard what the scriptures say and we didn't do it. Or we heard what was, as that word was preached to us, we heard it and we didn't do it. The minister himself can say, you know, pray that he prays, this is the word of God, he preaches that, and then he confesses, I didn't do it, that was the word of God. I violated the commandments. Haven't hearkened. Haven't hearkened unto the servants, the prophets, which spake in thy name. And he goes on about how the leaders were guilty to our kings, our princes, and our fathers, and then he also says, unto all the people. All the people of the land. And then he goes on. Righteousness belongeth unto thee, but unto us confusion of faces, as at this day to the men of Judah, to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and to all Israel that are near and that are far off through all the countries whither thou hast driven them. They've been driven to all these places because of their trespass, that they have trespassed against thee. He's confessing the sin, and he's confessing that the judgment that has come upon them is just. And you see that too. You know, we think of in confessing our sins, there are sometimes that things happen to us that are related to sin. Sometimes, you know, what people will go over and over in their mind, they'll have something that'll happen to them that's not clearly connected to a specific sin, and in their mind they're trying to think, what did I do? Did I do this? Do I do that? We often give examples of Job, and look at all of the things that happened to him. But we recognize there are times when things that happen are connected to a sin, and we know it. Sometimes people even point it out to us. Sometimes we as parents point such out to our children. We say, now look, we have told you about this quite a few times, and you didn't listen. And this is what now you see what happened. We recognize that when we're confessing our sins, when we think of things that have happened, that have come about, that are related to our sin, that we think also of the fact that our Father in love, our righteous Father, has chastened us. He's righteous. He chastens us in love, and that we think about what has happened. Well, you think of what it was like for the Jews, having been taken to Babylon for all those years, and how it was important for them to say You know, here they've been driven to these different places. We did not. The word of the prophets was brought, and we did not hearken. Verse 12 says, He confirmed His words which He spake unto us, and against our judges that judge us, by bringing upon us a great evil. For under the whole heaven hath not been done as hath been done upon Jerusalem. It's important for us to think about the righteousness of our God. It's important for us not to find fault with God. Sometimes we may be slow to admit that we are doing that. We know that God has before ordained all things. We know that God is sovereign. He's governing all. Sometimes something happens that we really did not want to happen. And we recognize it's very important that we not find fault with God. You know what's said at the beginning of the book of Job? The book of Job does speak about Job's sin as you go through the book. But at the beginning, in Job 1, when he said, Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The next verse is, In all this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Nor charged God foolishly. It's important that we confess the righteousness of our God. We also see here references to His mercy, His faithfulness. He's coming to God and He's asking for forgiveness. In verse 9, he says, To the Lord our God belongeth mercies and forgivenesses, though we have rebelled against Him. To the Lord our God belong mercies and forgivenesses. And then we think again about that verse. We often, you know, you think of that verse in 1 John 1:9 that speaks of God's faithfulness. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You think of bringing that word to someone who's grieving because of something they've said or done. They've confessed it. They are sorry for it. They've asked for forgiveness. They're so ashamed. So ashamed. We bring this comforting word. Say, look what God says here. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And we talk about the cross. We talk about what Christ went through. To atone. To atone for all of our sins. The great and dreadful God keeps the covenant in mercy to them that love Him. As we pray, we confess our sins and we ask for forgiveness, believing that He will forgive us for Christ's sake. It's important for us to think about the fact that Christ satisfied the demands of God's justice. speak of the righteousness of God. Well, Christ satisfied the demands of God's justice. God forgives us for Christ's sake. And when God chastens us, we recognize he's doing that in his love for us. God keeps his covenant promise. He speaks of chastening us. He speaks in his words about how he will chasten us. And he chastens us in love, and that's what he does throughout our life. We're his children. You know, we think of that fact, too, that the scriptures point out that as we are chastened and loved by our God, we're to think about the fact that, well, we're his children. You know, parents discipline their own children. We are God's children. We know a lot of people say, you know, we're all children of God. Well, we know that the scriptures, Jesus specifically spoke to some unbelievers and said, God isn't your father. You're of your father, the devil. You are children of God. It's by the grace of God. You are God's children. And if somebody asks you that, is God your father? Well, yes, you address him that way. Our Father which art in heaven, you know, is your Father. Well, as our Father chastens us, he knows us, he loves us, he cares for us, he chastens us in love. And we are submissive to him. And we pray in our prayer, grant us the grace to renounce our own will and to submit to God. Thank him for his mercy, for his love. You know, we see also, too, in this, we see that the words that Jeremiah spoke, you see the benefit, you see how, by the grace of God, Daniel heard the word. There were those that believed when Jeremiah spoke the word of God, a remnant. You know, God said to Jeremiah, therefore thou shalt speak all these words unto them, but they will not hearken to thee. Thou shalt also call unto them, but they will not answer thee. You think of the work of Jeremiah, and God says, now you're going to speak these words to them, but they're not going to hearken. They're not going to listen. They're not going to hearken to what you say. But there would be a remnant that would. And here Daniel is an example of one who heard the word, studied, looked at the word, understood, and believed. We see still today, though at the time that Jeremiah wrote, and though there were many that rejected the word, and though it's still today the case today that many will read the prophets and reject them, and read what the scriptures, what God says, and the scriptures and rejected, yet there are, by the grace of God, those that do believe. Why do they believe? God makes his covenant with some people, and when the idea of God making a covenant, Jeremiah wrote about that. And you think of that passage that we often quote that speaks about the covenant as a relationship of friendship. It's in Jeremiah 31. You know, we are familiar, our children are familiar with the fact that it's a bond of friendship. And if somebody says, now, how can you prove that? Well, there's various ways to, you know, to show that from Scripture. But one such way is in Jeremiah. And we look specifically at Jeremiah 31. This shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. Verse 33. I will put my law, and you know this. I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts. There are some people that have that word in their heart and will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me. They'll know me. I'll put my word in their heart. I'll put my law in their heart, and they will know me. From the least unto the greatest of them, for I will forgive their iniquity and I will remember their sin no more. I will be their God, they shall be my people. Daniel, when he prays here, he says, I prayed unto the Lord my God. Now, easy it is to read that and to not think about when we pray, we are calling on God, and when we say, my God, that we're to think, I'm praying to my God. And we think of the covenant. We are his people. He is our God. But when we pray the Lord's Prayer, our Father. He's our Father. We're his children. That's who we're talking to. You know, when we say in the Lord's Prayer, why did God command us to address him as our Father? That he might excite in us childlike reverence for and confidence in God. Childlike reverence and confidence. We come to the faithful God, the covenant-keeping God, our Father, and we confess him to be our God, as Daniel did here. God will accomplish his purpose. It would be the case for Daniel and his, you know, that Daniel lived at the time that now that 70 years was coming to an end. It was going to be a while before the Messiah himself would come. And that, you know, this latter part of the chapter starts directing Daniel and us to think about the coming of the Messiah and what the Messiah would go through and how he would save us from our sins. Now, we look at that and we know Christ has come. He has saved us. He's atoned for our sins, and he's been exalted to the right hand of God. The Spirit's been poured out, and we know Christ will return. In the Old Testament, they looked for the coming of Christ. We do too. Christ has already come, but we're also looking for him to return. Daniel lived in a time where he's got ungodly, living in the midst of the world, and so do we. We live like that in such a time too. And in the trials that we face here, we're consciously to set our face to the Lord. Think of his majesty, the great and dreadful God. Humble ourselves before him. Think of his righteousness. Confess his faithfulness. Ask for forgiveness and deliverance, believing God's promises, praying with confidence, and and striving to do what is to the honor of the name of our God, fighting the battle of faith. May we go forth in this week, and in our trials may we turn to our God in prayer, consciously setting our face toward Him, thinking of His mercy. May we encourage one another. May we pray for one another. As he's praying, he's confessing his sin and the sin of his people. Let us pray for one another. And let us do so with confidence. We know our God. He has made an everlasting covenant with us. We pray and request these things for Christ's sake. May we glorify and praise Him and express our love and thankfulness for the God who has shown us mercy. Amen. Let us pray. Our Lord and our God, we are thankful for Thy mercy. We are thankful for Thy grace. Thou art righteous. We confess Thy righteousness. We are sinners. We're so thankful that Thou dost forgive us. We confess our sins. Blot out our transgressions. Times we've heard Thy word and have not done it. Father, forgive us and cleanse us. We're so thankful for the work of our Savior. Grant us grace that we may walk closely with Thee in these last days. Bless and comfort all Thy people, we pray for Christ's sake. Amen.